we treat the supernatural like an amusement park ride of some kind where, you know, it's thrilling, it's chilling, and then you get off afterwards and everything's okay. But our interaction with the supernatural is not intended to be some kind of thrills and chills experience. And I mentioned this TV show last week that nobody seemed to know the name of. So I got on the internet and found out the name of it. It's called the Celebrity Paranormal Project. And, you know, excuse me, it's where they get celebrities to go into haunted places and get scared and run out. And that's it. That's the whole show. And, you know, whether they're scared of something real or not really doesn't become the point. It's just that I think having celebrities do it is a good idea because they're great actors. So they can, like, really be scared. No. And they have this camera on them, and it's all in grainy black and white and everything. They're walking. A camera's actually strapped to them. And you know, so they're kind of walking around going, oh, you know, I'm feeling cold. I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling scared. Get me out of here. And then that's the end of the show. Anyways, that's not what an encounter with the Holy Spirit is like. You know, this is wanting a cheap thrill out of encountering spirits, but an encounter with the Holy Spirit is something that is profoundly life-changing. There's no fear involved in it. It's not a fearful activity. I mean, fear in the runaway kind of sense. An experience that if we read our Bibles, it was a normal part of the life of the church to encounter the Holy Spirit regularly. Even in times just like we've had where we're worshiping and praying to the Lord and everything, there would regularly be times when the church got together, and there still are times regularly when the church gets together when the Holy Spirit comes in so many creative and interesting and different ways, and we have an encounter with Him. So what I've been doing is just to give us an idea of, okay, what's it like to encounter the Holy Spirit? You know, people can give their personal testimonies on it, and that's really helpful. You know, I mean, my own testimony is that, you know, my awareness of the Holy Spirit, I spent the first 20-some years of my life without really an awareness of the Holy Spirit. And then probably the next 10 after that, with only a very occasional awareness of the Holy Spirit's work in my life. And then at around age 30, which is a little while ago already for me, it began to be a more regular thing. And what I can say personally is it began to be a more regular thing when I began to pay attention more to what the Lord was doing and to what the Lord was doing in my life. You know, according to Ephesians, where it says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not that we come up with, but that that God has prepared for us in advance. It seemed that around age 30, I became aware, more and more aware that, wow, God's got good works for me to do. And I've spent the rest of my life from that point looking for those and walking in those and being blessed by those. So, yeah, it seems that the frequency of a visitation or an encounter with the Holy Spirit increases as we reach out to Him seriously in need. That we're, amen, seriously in need. Yeah. So we talked about what I've been doing is tracking with how the Bible characterizes an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And what was the first characterization, the one we talked about last week, that an encounter with the Holy Spirit is it's a baptism. And John the Baptist, he's the one who coined that, or at least started. It was mentioned lots of times. Matthew, you can probably, an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a baptism. You can put the verse up. The verse is Matthew 3:11, where John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And for those who were here last week, you know, I had some chairs set up. I had someone to be John the Baptist and someone to be Jesus. And I had John the Baptist with his water, and I had Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And how John the Baptist is saying here that Jesus' baptism, that the baptism we receive from Jesus, is more effective in leading us to repentance. It's more effective in opening our eyes to our sin and bringing us to a point where we're just wanting to confess our sin already and get it off our chest. And that baptism with the Holy Spirit is more than enough to bring us to this point of calling out to the Lord for forgiveness of sins. And then bringing us to a point where we receive a supernatural sense of cleansing from our sins. And then not only that, but bringing us to all the way to a point where we receive supernatural grace to go on differently, to go and sin no more, as Jesus said to the woman in John 8. That's baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what can happen to us when we encounter the Holy Spirit. That is a whole line of help from the Lord regarding repentance. And I may have mentioned that in all the great revivals, one of the first things that happened that was odd, it was out of the ordinary, is people weeping over their sin. People coming up to the front and confessing sins that they would never have talked about to anybody before. People receiving just a flooding sense of the forgiveness of God and never being the same again. See, that's an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's not thrills and chills. It's surprising, actually. It's something that's very good for us, and that is helping us to repent of our sin, confess our sin, receive forgiveness, receive grace to go on differently. So, man, if that's what an encounter with the Holy Spirit is like, it's a good thing. But let's remember that it's, you know, there are people who are looking for just the ooky, spooky, spine-tingling, thrills and chills encounter. And, you know, that's for stuff like that paranormal project where people scare themselves. This is an entirely different encounter with a different kind of spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Holy Spirit's a baptism, but it's not only a baptism. I want to talk tonight about another aspect, another way that the Bible characterizes when we bump into the Holy Spirit, when we come upon Him and are aware of His presence. And so I want to just take a look at some scriptures, and I'm going to be asking Matthew to list the scriptures. Great. There we go. Examples in scripture. The Holy Spirit, an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a filling. Now, could you get your Bibles? And I'm going to get people on the microphone here to read pieces of scripture. Is there anybody who'd like to read Exodus 31, verses 2 to 5? A very surprising look at what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, tucked away right in the Old Testament. And we'll do it this way before you start, Andre, is sort of keep an eye out for who gets the next one. Luke 1, verse 67. Somebody? Thank you, Christine. Go for it. So Andre will pass the microphone to Christine when you're done. And then Luke 4, verse 1. I got you. Aaron, right? Okay, so Christine, you'll pass the microphone to Aaron. And the next one is, did I already say Luke 4, 1? No? Yes? No? Yes. Okay, so we're on Acts now, right? Who'd like to read Acts 2, verse 4? Okay, thank you, Danielle. And Acts 4:8, okay, Carolyn, it's got to be you, because you've had your hand up the whole time, actually. And then Acts 4:31, thank you, Diana. Okay, so just pass the microphone on as we go. Go for it, Andre.
See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stone, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship.
Cool. So we can see that the Lord filled this man with the Holy Spirit, and what came out kind of looked like particular talents. Okay, Christine.
And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
Excellent. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Okay, thanks so much, Aaron. Go for it.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led into the desert, by the Spirit into the desert.
Wow, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, our Master and our Savior. He got baptized so that we would get baptized. Not like he needed it, right? But he got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And he was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. So that we could follow him into that. Okay, go ahead, Danielle.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Wow. So we've got people being filled with the Spirit and then speaking in tongues. Okay, go ahead, Carolyn.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people."
Cool. Yeah, that's right. Well, we know that was the first line of a sermon that brought many, many people to the Lord. Powerful supernatural evangelism as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Diana.
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Wow. So they received boldness to preach the word of God. Thank you so much. Okay, so we can say definitely that one of the things that happens when we encounter the Holy Spirit is that we're filled. And I just want to spend a little bit of time tonight just looking at this idea, this image that the Bible uses of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we'll do an object lesson. See, there isn't a complicated Greek word for filled. Actually, the Greek word for filled means filled, plain and simple, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's a very simple principle, but we can do some thinking about this, and that's what I want to do. So I've got my object lesson here, and we're just going to observe some things about filling something with something else. Now I really feel like Vince. About filling something with something else. So here, for our purposes, I've got water, which is appropriate because oftentimes the Holy Spirit, the image for the Holy Spirit that the Bible uses, is he's like water in a sense. And I've got something that would represent us, you know, a vessel that is, you know, a little bit cloudy. Can't see very well through it, but okay, here we go. You ready? We're going to observe some things. Okay. Oh, I guess I can observe something even before I start. When something isn't full, what is it? It's empty. That's actually where I think it's a good place to start. And that is the Holy Spirit. In order for the Holy Spirit to fill us, we need to make sure that we're not full of something else. Right? So, just as an example for that, let's say there's somebody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they say, "Holy Spirit, come! Come, Spirit, fill me." And the Holy Spirit goes, it would be a little bit hard to fill you because you're full of something else. And so oftentimes what precedes a filling of the Holy Spirit is an emptying of our own junk. In this case, the Holy Spirit would say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what I'm full of. What's wrong with me? Help me. And you know what? God is gracious. He'll help us. So the Holy Spirit goes, okay, before I can fill you, we have to empty you. So there's something that's in here that you need to get out. You're full of envy. He's green, so I thought, envy. Full of envy. When we're full of envy, it's very difficult to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a very simple thing. When we're full of something else, how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or maybe unforgiveness. Or rage. Or it could be, or what? Oh, pride. Yeah, maybe it's pride. And I guess the question I would ask, you know, to me and to you is, well, what are you filled with that's not the Holy Spirit? You know, if the Holy Spirit turned on the searchlight and went in there as we allow him to. You know, Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. There's two reasons why the psalmist would say that. One of them is just to give God permission and to open up his heart to the Lord. And the other one is sometimes we don't even know what's in our heart. And our God is gracious to show us. So, I you know, even before we get to it, it seems that looking at an empty vessel is, it's an important place to start. That we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're holding on to something else, if we've got our heart filled with something else. So my encouragement to you is, you know, if you're going, oh, you know, I just don't, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? What might happen first is the Lord pointing out something that's in the way that he wants to fill you. But there might be something in the way, and it would be to ask him what that could be. So, you can move on, Matthew, a little bit here. There we go. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure we're not already full of something else. There's a scripture that I can point to for this, so we'll go to the scripture. Matthew 23, verses 25 and 26. This is Jesus talking. And he says, woe to you, you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, or actors. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside also will be clean. You know, in the case of the Pharisees, in their hearts there was greed and self-indulgence. Maybe we've got some of that. But you know what? These things don't surprise the Lord. He's been around. He knows human nature. He knows our hearts. The real key is how we respond. If we say, Lord, you're right. You know, or if we just resist or deny or whatever. But if we come to the Lord in a real sense, and say, Lord, I've got greed in my heart. I've got self-indulgence in my heart. Help me. That's not acting. That's being real. And he loves it when we acknowledge what he sees anyways. And then from that point, then there's baptism, like an encounter with the Holy Spirit where he takes us through the road of repentance all the way through forgiveness, all the way into grace to go on. And then there's filling, where we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I guess the second thing I would mention about the empty vessel is it's not such a bad thing to realize our emptiness without the Holy Spirit. That's not such a bad thing. Because then we get thirsty. Then we get desperate, even. You know, that song, Breathe. You know, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Those things are true, and it's an expression of our emptiness without the Holy Spirit. It makes us thirsty. You can move on, Matthew. It makes us see a sense of our own emptiness without the Holy Spirit is not a bad thing. It drives us to the Lord. If we're not particularly thirsty, we're not particularly interested in getting something to drink. But when we see how in need we are of the water of the Holy Spirit, we're looking, we're seeking, we're finding the Holy Spirit in that sense of our emptiness. So you can do the scripture. John 7, verses 37 and 38, famous scripture. Jesus brings this invitation. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." That speaks to the filling of the Holy Spirit. So it's like that. What happens before we're filled is really important in understanding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a sense of we don't want to be full of something else, so oftentimes we have to deal with that before the Lord. And it's also not so bad to go, "Lord, Holy Spirit, come." And that we're asking the Holy Spirit to come into our life out of our understood need for Him. And sometimes it takes a bit for us to realize that we're running on empty, but it's at that point that the Holy Spirit is happy to fill us. So, okay, there's a start. Boy, I mean, it's just the word fill. Like, and we've gotten a little ways already. Now, here we go. This is what it means to be filled, right? Okay. Question. Is this full? No, it's not. Half full is not full. When the Bible talks about an encounter with the Holy Spirit being a filling, He's not talking about this. Did anyone even feel anything there? A little bit? That's not what the image is. The image is, "Oh, I thought I felt something. I think I did." That's not what an encounter with the Holy Spirit is like, at least in this image that the Bible uses when it talks about a filling. I said already that the Greek word for filling or to fill is it just means to fill, and that's true. But I do want to say what the word is. The word is pletho, P-L-E-T-H-O, pletho. And it's used like 99% of the time when it talks about the Holy Spirit filling someone. We get our English word plethora from this. And a plethora of something is a superabundance of it. Like, it's not just a little bit or a touch. It's filled in the biggest sense of the word. So, half full isn't the kind of full that we're talking about when we're talking about an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So, continuing, an encounter with the Holy Spirit in terms of a filling is kind of like this. It's overwhelming. It's a superabundance. It overflows from us over us, through us, to others. It's not just enough. It's a plethora of the Holy Spirit. It's a superabundance of Him in our lives. Now, if you kind of take what you just saw and imagine yourself encountering a Holy Spirit like that, where, you know, like we always say this when you're filling up, say when. But it's almost like when we encounter the Holy Spirit, it's like, when? And He's just keeping on going. But it's like joy that we just can't take anymore. Or it's truth that we just can't take anymore. It's an overwhelming experience. It's not a sprinkle. It is a profound thing. Like, for example, I guess, you know, we carry a certain electrical charge in our body all the time. Like our body kind of runs on a kind of electricity just in it. And we don't feel it. Like you don't feel electricity coursing through your veins all the time. But you know, if you stick a fork in an outlet, then there's a superabundance of electricity that happens, more than you're used to encountering. I would never suggest that you ever do that. Don't ever do that. But I'm just using it as an example. Anyways, you do that and you get a reaction because it's an overabundance. It's like, ah! And you know what? Sometimes an encounter with the Holy Spirit feels like that. Has anyone ever felt that kind of electricity thing when they've encountered the Holy Spirit? Okay. Yeah, okay. It feels like electricity. I don't know how else to put it. Oh, is that right? Cool. Right. Or sometimes it's joy, where you just feel a joy that is hard to take already. Or you feel a repentance for your sin that just feels so different than just the regular, normal course of life. You know, it doesn't happen constantly. A powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit that's a filling, it's valuable in its rarity. In other words, you perceive it as a filling because that's not how you normally feel. So it happens from time to time for particular reasons, but I'll tell you, when it happens, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not interested in half full. He's interested in giving us a superabundance of His, a plethora of His goodness and His gifts and His grace and His joy and His love and His peace and His open-eyed view of ourselves and the world and all things around us. So go for it there, Matthew. I think I've got another scripture there. Acts 2, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They'd never done anything like that before. And all of a sudden, that's what they were doing. And after the Holy Spirit came, they spilled out into the public places and they're praising God. So you can expect, when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, this could happen. That, I guess you could call it a power encounter. But it's not with something dark and evil. It's with the third person of the Trinity. You have an encounter with Him in all His power and all His truth and all His love. And it's hard to take. You might have heard of people like falling down and stuff like that. Yeah, that can happen. that's an expression of surrender. It's like if you take a superabundance of whatever it is, there's a person who's wanting to surrender their life to the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them, and all they can do is fall down in surrender. You have somebody laughing uproariously and can't stop. That happened at the youth conference 2 years ago with young people who had never experienced this before. And I know the kids, and like they weren't faking anything. And it was just, it was laughter that wouldn't stop for them. It wasn't like being hysterical or something. It was just laughter. And afterwards, they just talked about they loved it because it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. They could feel the filling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's crying. A superabundance of whatever makes you cry. That could be the plight of the lost. What it is the Holy Spirit coming near and His heart for the lost. We feel it. And that blows our circuits because we got all kinds of defense mechanisms to stop us from feeling too deeply. And then when the Lord comes in, the defense mechanisms come down and we end up weeping for things that we wouldn't otherwise cry about. So this is the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, many of you are young people. I didn't experience anything like that when I was 20, when I first came to the Lord, except a real sense of forgiveness of sin. And you know what? That is an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We've already learned that. And all the way until I was in my 30s, there was something happening at the church that we were going to where, you know, they had come back from South America where they're kind of like, this happens all the time. Or it was in the 90s when I was at Gateway, the church that I went to before I became a pastor. And they were praying for people and people were falling down. And I remember one Sunday, I said, I'm sitting in the front row because I want to see this. So I'm sitting in the front row and they're praying for people and they're falling down. And, you know, you have to understand, the way my mind works is I don't buy that right away. Like that's just the way my mind works. I'll think of a whole bunch of reasons why that's not genuine. So while I was thinking of a bunch of reasons why that wasn't genuine, I all of a sudden became aware of, how do I even describe this? I became aware of a sob that was coming. I wasn't even thinking about anything sad. A sob that started to come from way down inside. And it came up, up, and up, and I couldn't even breathe. I had, in a sense, exhaled a sob so deeply that I couldn't even breathe in. Well, I did breathe in eventually, but it felt interesting. I didn't know what that was, and I didn't know. The way that it got me was I ended up on the floor, kind of like this. And then I started to feel electricity in my extremities first, and then all the way through my body. And it didn't feel bad. It didn't feel, I didn't feel like, oh no, something supernatural is happening to me. So I'm on the floor, like I was just over here thinking of why this isn't genuine. And then there I am on the floor. And some people came to pray for me. And because I was going like, because it wasn't painful, but it felt overwhelming, just like I was describing here with a filling. They started to come to pray. I'm going, on the floor, and they're, you know, someone comes to pray for me, and they go like, if there's anything evil around here, we cast it out in Jesus' name. And I'm saying, no, this is God. This is God doing this. Because I knew as it was happening that this was the Lord. So they prayed for me, and I spent Karen isn't here to help verify this, but I think it was 2 hours. I think it was 2 hours on the floor. They were setting up for a spaghetti dinner after the service, and it's hard to explain the experience. I heard somebody prophesying about the Lord Jesus going into Satan's nursery. You know, where Satan is raising people, kind of the way that he raises, he nurtures people in his things and in his destruction. And I saw an image of Jesus coming straight in to Satan's nursery and taking babies. And Satan was there. Jesus just taking babies. And these are mine now. With authority and power. And I heard somebody prophesying that, and it turned out to be me. I was declaring this, and actually that picture was very helpful for kind of the rest of what the Lord did in my life after that. Just in terms of ministering to young people and such, it was profound. I mean, it doesn't happen every day. If that happened every day, I'd be a wreck. But like we it's almost like we can't take that all the time. But boy, when it does happen, I'm illustrating that because it was unexpected. It was sudden. And it was very helpful. The people at church that day, I don't know what they thought of me. And, you know, I didn't care either at the time. But afterwards, you can care. Like, man, what did people think of that? People could have been saying, wow, that's really weird. Or, you know, looks like Rob is caught up in this thing. But what doesn't count so much is what it looks like at the time. What counts way more is what kind of fruit is born in your life subsequent to that. Because, see, that's why an encounter with the Holy Spirit is different than an encounter with something that just scares you and you walk away. And that is that he changes you and continues to change you. So when someone has an experience, an overwhelming experience of the Holy Spirit, it might look a little funny, but it's like my encouragement would be just, you know, withhold judgment on it and watch for what happens afterwards. You know, I know from the times... There are a few times in my life when the Lord addressed me powerfully like that. And every one of those times, I was on the edge of doing something new for the Lord that I didn't know about, that I really needed his power and his presence for. So, anyways, I'll make one last point. Oh, just a second. Where are we with scriptures? Okay, Acts 2:4, good. Observation number 3. When a container is empty and it's on the table and you're eating and you want someone to pass this to you, what do you say? Can you please pass? Can you pass the container? Right. If this container full of water is on the table and you want some, what do you say? Pass the water. That's interesting. It's still a container. But when the container is filled with what it needs to be filled with, it takes on the qualities of that which fills it. Now this is water. I mean, there is a container, but it's full of water, so it's really water when it comes down to it. Pass the container so I can fill it. Oh, thank you. Now you can pass the water around. Same thing for people, like for us, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, people see Him in us. they don't see us so much, but they see him. And that's really cool. That's the way the Lord makes himself manifest on this earth, through us. These little cloudy vessels that sometimes they're full of junk or whatever, but he cleans us out and he manifests himself past the Holy Spirit. That's what it is when the Holy Spirit fills us. So go for it, Matthew, for the scripture for that. Acts 4:13. This is, you know, they arrest the disciples because these guys are preaching and healing people powerfully. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. That's the vessel, right? Unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When they looked at these guys, they saw the Lord Jesus. These guys are followers of Jesus because we see Jesus and the way he does things, his characteristics, his personality. So, folks, if we're asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Daniel actually sang the song, Jesus increase, we must decrease. Jesus, fill our hearts today. And that's his Spirit who fills us. And when he does that, we decrease and he increases. I want to live my life that way. I don't want more of me. I want more of the Lord. But I mean, we're all conflicted, right? In some ways, we do want more of me. But ultimately, we know. I mean, you want to live your, you want to walk this on this earth in an adventurous way. And I'll tell you, with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit filling us, wow, that's a great way to live.